Welcome and God bless. On behalf of our pastors, Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in to our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit votacoma.org.
It's one thing to believe God's promises when everything is going good, but it's an entire different battle when you have to maintain your faith when everything around you seems to be falling apart. Somebody talk to me this morning. I think that sometimes we come to church and we just play the role. I'm good. Husband and wives walking in fighting, amen, but they smiling for the people. Me and my wife, we used to do that. And we said, man, let's just stop being fake. If I'm mad, let me be mad. If I ever just blow up and go crazy, will you guys give me a pass? See, some of you are cold. You're like, no, you're the pastor. There, you don't get no pass. Amen. I mean, you know, people watch our walk, how we live and what we do. Amen. But I pray that if I ever, that you would pray for me. Amen. You say, pastor, it's okay. You get a pass. You get a mulligan. Oh, man. Our faith is constantly attacked and bombarded with the issues of life. And it's here where we have to, as believers, grow in our understanding and in our maturity and know that though you are going through some things, that God is still in control. Because every now and then we go through some things and we act like God done left, like I don't exist anymore. And then all of a sudden we're getting all of our plans, we're getting all of our advice from other unknown sources. Come on, somebody, you didn't even check if the source was real. You're getting information because at the time there's panic and we need help. But as God's people, we need to understand the role that crisis plays in our lives so that we can grow in the grace and in the knowledge. See, growing in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ doesn't mean you're just going to get some knowledge. You got to grow in grace because you truly never understand grace until you mess up yourself. Because every now and then we first get saved and we give our lives to the Lord. We start coming to church. We're like convicted about everything. Man, I watched the wrong movie or I cussed. And then after we've been walking with God a little bit, we get a little bit comfortable and the things that used to bother us don't really bother us anymore. Are you with me? Is somebody with me this morning? Am I preaching the truth? Just waving me. Okay, good. I know you're with me. One of the things you have to understand about the battle of maintaining your faith is God will allow our faith to be tested in order to build us up. You all have read the scripture, James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. The Apostle Paul would later on in 1 Peter reiterate this same concept in chapter 4, where he says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on to you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. Now, some of you have been going through some things and you're getting discouraged, but this morning I came to tell you, don't consider it strange that you're going through some things. You got to look at your trial and what you're going through and at some point find joy. Now, this concept, now this principle, it's not something that you can grasp with the carnal mind. Because it ain't easy to get joy when you're going through some things. That's like, what you want me to do? What? I'll tell you about me. When I'm in a bad mood, let me be in a bad mood. Don't mess with me. I don't want to hear anything about joy. That's when I'm in the flesh. But my spirit, man, over years of going through some things and realizing, though I went through some things, some way, somehow, God pulled me out. I begin to understand that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I've gone through some things. Now, the trial that I'm facing today is just dressed a little bit different. And because my spirit is in tune with God, because I understand truth, I read my word, I'm in a devotion with God, I'm trying to grow in the grace and in the knowledge, I can identify when it's a test from God. And when I've put myself through something because of my actions. See, that's maturity. When you can stop and say, man, you know, you're like confessing to somebody, man, I'm going through some things and I just don't understand. Man, I understand. I ain't gonna lie. I did it. It's kind of true. Somebody help me. Thank you, my brother. This morning, if you're going through some things, I want to tell you, don't lose heart. Because what you're going through is a part of God's process. I know it might not make sense, but God knows what he's doing. He knows the end from the beginning. He is the author and the perfecter of your faith. So listen, whatever you're going through, God is in control. I bring this up to tell you that true faith is built during difficult times. Fake faith is exposed when you go through something that only God can pull you out of. Immaturity is exposed. Because, you know, we're living in a day and age where people, like, they have this false humility. This false spiritual, like, I read the scriptures and I know and I can quote. The question is, I don't care if you can quote. The question is, can you live it? See, I grew up in an era where my pastor constantly taught us, preach all day long and use words if you have to. But fake faith is exposed during difficult times, and true faith is built when you endure during those seasons of struggle. And this is good news for some of you, because there's a lot of you, you've made a decision, I'm going to follow Jesus in 2017. And all of a sudden, life started to fall out of whack. God's just building you up. God said, okay, he's serious now. She's serious now. Let me throw this at him. I'm not going to give him anything he can't handle. Let me just see if he's grown a little bit. Because true integrity, listen to me, true integrity isn't developed until your character's been tested. See, some people think that character and integrity go hand in hand. No, integrity is proven when your character has been tested and you're able to overcome the things that you battled with. Are you with me? Are you with me this morning? See, God is in control, and he's simply building you up. And I want to encourage you, listen, don't consider it strange. God is doing something in your life. He's breeding maturity, and he's trying to give you understanding of who he is. You know, some of the greatest moments I've had with God was in the struggle. Now, I don't like the struggle. I was kind of hesitant to preach this because, man, I found that every time you preach on something, you either have gone through it or you go into it right after. But I said, man, I'm willing to endure it. I'm willing to go through it because God's people needs to hear it. And this year, we're going to grow in 2017. See, some translations say that the testing of our faith produces character. And listen to me, it's going to be character that will give you stability to go up against any trial that comes your way. For some of you, the calling upon your life is going to be dictated by your character. And God wants to take you from glory to glory. He wants to take you to a new level. But he's saying to some, you can't go where I want to take you with that baggage. You got to get rid of that. Because on this trip, you got to let go of the security blanket. You got to let go of that little pet sin. I can't take you and let you experience the healing power until you give up this that you so secretly like and somehow convinced yourself that it's okay. The Bible is black and white. Let's get back to the story. So here we have Jesus. He's warning his disciples to not lose heart. Then he switches the conversation. And he takes the conversation in a different direction. And he says something very interesting. He says, my Father's house has many mansions. If there were not so, what I have told you, I am going there. Where is there? Heaven. To prepare a place for you. Now here, Jesus gives them a promise of heaven. Now it may sound like an elementary question, but what is heaven? Ponder that for a second. What is heaven? Is it the picture that Hollywood gives us? What is heaven? According to the Bible, heaven is the Father's house. Heaven is the city of the living God. Heaven is the place where the Bible says Jesus went to prepare a place for you and for me. What is interesting is, you know, that we don't preach or teach about heaven enough. I really don't. I think that the church is sometimes, and God was convicting me. I was like, man, this whole time I've been here, I ain't preached a single message on heaven. I've preached about repentance, but I think we need to start talking about heaven so that we get excited, because did you know God put eternity in our heart? So when we start preaching about heaven, some of you might leap out of yourself and break that bondage, because you know you're supposed to be there. The end goal for you was not to live in struggle, but to walk among the glorious God. This world has a way of like getting us to focus on the here and in the now. Let me give you just some facts about heaven. Jesus mentioned heaven about 70 times in the book of Matthew alone. Heaven is mentioned in the first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the entire last chapter of the Bible is dedicated to describing what heaven is like. Isn't that heavy stuff? The Old Testament prophets wrote about it. Or I should say dreamed about it. Psalms consistently mentions it. The Apostle Paul made it a part of his teaching. And Jesus consistently taught in parables to teach and prepare the disciples of what was to come. Now, why am I telling you all of this? Because heaven is the single greatest promise given to all humanity. Hear me, some of you got to catch this. Heaven is the single greatest promise given to all humanity, and it is our final destination. Don't get comfortable here, because there are some realities about this life that we got to give up if we want to get there. See, this message is very simple. It really is. This message is intended to remind you that heaven is a real place and heaven is a promise from God. My main intent in this message is to get you to think about life and to think about eternity. That is the entire message right there. What does the Bible say about life? What does it say about eternity? Let me give you a few scriptures on life. Psalms 144 says, man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. James 4:14, why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. This one tripped me out. This one kind of scared me. 1 Samuel 14:14, all of us must die eventually. Our lives are like water spilled out on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. But God does not just sweep life away. Instead, he devises or he plans ways to bring us back when we have been separated from him. These scriptures are the type of scriptures that get you thinking like, what in the world am I doing with my life? Well, somebody just wave at me. Those are the type of scriptures that get you thinking, man, am I right with the Lord? Oh man, I gotta give that up like ASAP, like now. Go to the bathroom, throw it away. Come on, somebody. These are some heavy scriptures about life. But you know what's heavy about these scriptures? What they all have in common? They all speak to the reality that our days are numbered here on earth. And the Bible tells us that our life is like water spilled out on the ground, which can never be gathered up. In other words, the parts of our life that we have wasted, you will never get back. There is no second chance at this thing called life. Do what you may, but I will warn you now, you will never get the time that you wasted back. And for some of you, it's time to stop playing games. Draw the line in the sand and say, God, count me in the army of the Lord. I am going to fight for my family. I'm going to take back everything the devil stole from me. I'm going to grow in the grace and in the knowledge. And I'm going to dedicate my life to spreading the gospel. See, some people sometimes ask me, well, why am I so passionate? Man, if you knew the hell that God brought me out of, you would scream with me too. I mean, if some of you just start thinking about the hell that God brought you out of, you of all people should have been up here dancing. No matter what people think. God done pulled you out, done cleaned you up, gave you your family back. Come on, somebody talk to me this morning. See, I feel compelled to remind you that our days here on earth are limited and that the days are evil. We're living in the last days. We can't just turn the blind eye and act a fool. Yeah, I said a fool. I got scripture to back it up. Ephesians 5, 15 and 17. Look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Time is ticking away. And we cannot live like the world lives. Listen to me. Listen, church. If you don't like the truth, this might not be the church for you. We're not going to preach a gospel that tickles your ear. I believe that one of the greatest problems in churches today is we've become tolerant of the world. Now, I'm not saying you don't start walking around this church gloom and doom and hitting people over the head, because I don't believe in that. Kick your back. Come on, somebody. We got to have love. But if you deal with somebody harshly, make sure you sowed enough love that will outweigh your act of sharpness or disapproval. Sometimes we don't sow any type of love and we just want to give it to them how it is. Let me tell them, they need to hear this. Well, be careful, because you're not the judge. God is the judge. God has called us to be vehicles of love. I don't go around the church correcting everybody and all of their business. I know some stuff. I ain't going to go around, I'm not just going to go if people, you know, we got to love people. Right? I was struggling when I first walked into the church. Thank God they didn't kick me out. You guys know my story. But it was love that covered the multitude of all our sins. But what I am saying is this. As a church, we cannot allow the world to dictate our standard of living. And that's what I mean. We got to be careful that we don't become like the people that the Bible describes in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let me read to you what the Bible says will happen in the last days. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than of good, than of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. It's not enough to have a form of godliness. Because you can have a form of godliness, but understand what that means for you and your house. As a man, if you are the only form of godliness and that's corrupted, there will be no power for breakthroughs. There will be no power for you to break through for your family and press in. That's a heavy truth right there. Listen to me. Mom, the same thing. We're living in the days where if we don't model, my children are watching me. Everything that I do, I got to be careful, because I be flashing at home sometimes. Come on, don't look at me like that. Some of you know what that means. I be getting crazy. What are you doing? I'll be like, sorry, babe. Sorry. I love the message that my wife preached last week. Pass it on. Right? Our children are watching us. What we allow, what we tolerate, listen to me. We as a church, and this is something that God has been dealing with me with, we got to create a certain culture within our church. Now hear me. Culture is built off of two things. What you value and what you allow. Your house has a culture. Your job has a culture. The church has a culture. Now hear me. Culture is built off of what you value and what you allow. Let me explain. In this church, we value worship. We value prayer. We value holiness. We value relationships. Now, what we value is not what we say, it's what we do. Now, what I allow will eventually determine the culture in the church. So if I was a pastor that just overlooked every sin, especially for those that are serving in ministry, and I don't address it, I am going to develop a tolerant culture within the church. And then everyone will just start serving. And then because I was called to be the priest, because I was called to preach the uncut word of God, who do you think is going to get judged for it greater? Hear me now. And that translates to your house. But we're living in a day and age that if we're not careful, the culture that we tolerate will be the one that we don't know the Bible disapproves of. We got to grow in the grace and in the knowledge. See, there were certain things that I allowed in my house because I didn't know any better. I didn't know what the Bible says. But this is why you got to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because when you grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, your spirit man identifies with truth. And that's what ultimately builds conviction in your life. I'll be coming on to close in a few minutes. Are you getting something? The world will do its best to influence us. The world will do its best to suck us into their culture. But we have to be a church that draw a line. We cannot allow the culture of this world to contaminate the church. We got to set the tone. We got to set the standard. And it starts by preaching the uncut word of God. How we live matters. And I feel like I have to say that because I was reminded with studying about heaven, you cannot study about heaven without studying about hell. That's just kind of the way it goes. But as I was studying, I was reminded that Jesus warned us that not everyone would make it. Now, he's given us free will. We got to make the choice. Are we going to walk the walk, or are we going to live like on the fringes? And right, the Bible even says that some will enter in barely. Come on, somebody. With flames. Listen to what Matthew 7:13 says. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Matthew 7:21, this one scares me. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now, no relationship is perfect. No relationship with God is perfect. So let me just throw that out there. But someday, our relationship with Christ will be revealed. Hebrews 4:13 tells us everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him who we must give an account. We will stand before the Lord one day and give an account to every action. Now listen to me. I'm not trying to preach gloom and doom this morning. I am trying to get you to develop an eternal focus. I am kind of like rewrite. We're at a place in our church of transition. And let me just throw this out there. We're at a place where I'm not rewriting the direction of the church, but I will say this. One of the values and one of the things that we're going to teach, we're developing a new members class, which we're going to start here probably in July. But one of the things that we're going to teach is if you become a member of this church and you're here with us for a couple years, you're going to have three things if you go through this track. Number one, you're going to have a biblical worldview. Number two, you will have an eternal focus. And number three, you will have a tangible place within the local church where you can serve. But I feel like we got to start preaching about heaven. Why? What does the Bible say about heaven? And I'll be coming on to close. Give me about 5 minutes, 10 minutes. The Bible says our citizenship is not here on earth, but in heaven. We as God's people need to live with the end in mind. We need to live with eternity as a focal point, because that is our final destination. See, heaven is a real place. It's a place where we will live one day. Listen to me. We're going to have real houses, real bodies, real gardens. I refuse, again, like I said, I was so disciplined not to go there, but there are so many scriptures that talk about even us, we're going to build houses and vineyards and we'll eat fruit. We're going to enjoy the labor of our hands. You know that the single characteristic of heaven is going to be like joy, peace, and the Holy Spirit. Now, contrary to belief, we're not just going to be worshiping the whole time. Now, I love worship. I read this in the book, too. I was like, I'm going to steal that. And I loved, Andy Alcorn, what did he say? He said, I love heaven. I love worship. Man, but I don't want to sing it like till eternity. And there are so many scriptures that talk about the physical things we're going to do. You're going to have an upgrade body. You are going to remember the people that went before you. Amen. The Bible even tells us this. Because after Jesus resurrected in his physical body, his disciples noticed who he was. At the mount when Elijah and Moses, was it Elijah and Moses? Right? They recognized who they were. Now the disciples that were there had never seen them, but their spirits knew. Listen to me, we're going to see the people that went before us. But you know what's even greater than all of that? We're going to see our loving Savior, our loving Savior. We're going to walk with Jesus. Listen to me. We're going to walk with Jesus. Revelations 2:4 tells us he will wipe away every tear in their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things will have passed away. Our hearts are going to be full with joy. Now let's go back to the conversation with Jesus that he's having with his disciples. He tells them, I'm going to come back and take you to be with me. And then he says, I know the way to the place. You know the place where I'm going. You know the way to the place that I'm going. Now, the disciples not quite understanding. They say, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And then he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. Let me give you three things real quickly. Number one, Jesus is the only way to heaven. There is no multiple ways into heaven. Hear me now. We can't buy our way into heaven. We cannot make it to heaven based on our good works. We're not even going to make it into heaven because we're good people. Hear me now. There is no way, there is no other way but Jesus. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 4 that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And in verse number 12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which he must be saved. So I got to shatter some myths this morning. There is no serving God your way. I serve the Lord in my own way. I don't have to do it like Pastor Eric. You ain't got to do it like me. Just make sure that's in line with the word of God. I'm a little crazy. I'm on dance. I really don't care what people think. Come on, somebody. I'm crazy. I tell people, if you're a part of our church, if you are crazy when you walked in, stay crazy. Just change your perspective. I was a nut in the world. I'm going to stay a nut for Jesus. God has called us to have our own personality. We don't have to walk around, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Brother, sister, be a nut. Be you. Love people. Just live according to the word. But I got to warn you, there is no serving God your own way. Jesus is the only way to the Father. Number two, Jesus is the truth and the reality of God's promise. John 18:37, you say that I am king for this purpose, and I was born for this purpose, and I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is the truth listens to my voice. 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, and his son Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promise. When you develop a relationship with the Lord, your spirit man will identify with what's true. This is why you have to value reading your Bible. Now listen, I love, and there's nothing wrong with it. I'm not going to persecute you, but like I love apps. I love apps. But invest in a Bible. A Bible that you keep in your car. A Bible that you physically take with you, that you read, that you study, that you meditate on, so that your spirit will develop conviction according to the word. Number three and lastly, He is the way, He is the truth, and Jesus is the one who gives eternal life. Because Jesus died on the cross and arose on the third day, He overcame the grave, and as a result, He is the giver of eternal life. 1 John 5:11-12, this gets me going. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and that this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Eternal life is made possible through Jesus and Jesus alone. Now, the Bible also tells us that in heaven, there is a book of life. Revelation 21:27, nothing impure will enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. How you live today matters, church. Listen to me. Now, how do we get our names written in the Lamb's book of life? That was the question I wanted to know when I first came to the church. And it's actually quite simple. Romans 10:9-11 is this. And if you ever want to know how to lead somebody to the Lord, all you have to do is follow this formula. Romans 10:9-11 says this. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in Him will never be put to shame. I will have to tell you, though, that is not a hollow prayer. When you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you live different. Because there is a level of fear and a level of awe that God is real, that God has power over life and over death. He has the ability to allow me to enter in. This afternoon, I simply wanted to remind you of the blessed hope that we have in Jesus. One day we're going to walk heaven. There is a place that He is preparing for us. And 1 Corinthians 2 says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor heart of man imagined what God has prepared for us who love Him. Listen to me. The blessed hope that we have is salvation. One day, we're going to be with the Savior. And no matter what you go through here on earth, I think it's Romans 8:18, that our present suffering is not worth comparing with the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Stand with me this morning.